This morning is a follow-up lesson from the lesson that we had last week. In our second chorus this morning, we sang about Jesus having kingdom authority. And last week, he gave that authority to his disciples, his apostles in particular, sent them out to announce the kingdom and to heal. A couple of the other gospels go into a little more detail. They went out two by two. He gave them instructions on what to do, and he gave them authority over sickness and over spiritual oppression as well. And last week we ended our lesson with the beginning of with verse 10. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him and withdrew by themselves to a town of called Bethsaida, and we talked a little about that at the end of the message last week, the fact that Jesus often emphasized the importance of getting away and taking time of rest, the importance of rest and refreshment, which God knew was important to us, which is why he put one of the commandments in the covenant with Israel, the commandment on the Sabbath. For the Christian, that commandment has been expanded. It's no longer focused on a particular day of the week, but is focused instead on the fact that God appreciates our need for refreshment and gives us times of refreshment in our lives. Sometimes a whole season of refreshment may come after a particularly difficult time, or it may precede a particularly difficult time. Whenever I hit a spell where things are kind of peaceful, being the way I am, I'm usually thinking, well, I better take advantage of it because rough times are coming. So sort of like the time before a hurricane or a tornado when things get really still, but you have this sense that things are building and they're about to break. So this is why it's important for us to remember that we are not the center of all things, and life does not depend on what we do, and that every now and then we need to take a break, even if we may think we're indispensable. But this morning we get a little bit of a surprise, as we see as we go on to verse 11. But the crowds learned about it, and they followed him. Jesus welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Sometimes even the best laid plans of the master go astray. We read in the Gospels several times where Jesus went off by himself to pray, and then his disciples would come to him and say, but master, people are asking for you, they're looking for you, and he would say, well, then let's get to work, because that's why I came. And it gets kind of confusing for his servants, because we don't know if Jesus is saying that rest really doesn't matter when duty calls, or if he's saying that we really should make an effort to take time out to rest, because we never know when we might hit a busy spell and have to go for longer than usual before we can refresh ourselves. But anyway, this was the situation here with Jesus and the apostles. They intended to take a break. They tried to get a vacation, and I've had this happen. You're on your way out the driveway, and you end up cursing God for cell phones because somebody calls you on your cell phone, and all of a sudden you pull back in the driveway, and you put off your vacation for a while. And sometimes you wonder then, when you have work to do, if maybe you're neglecting your duties, if you take time for yourself. And we begin to think that we're not important enough to take time of rest or to get away. And I don't think Jesus would go along with that idea. So let's see what happened on this occasion when all of a sudden the the apostles and Jesus were planning on a break and they didn't get one. Late in the afternoon, after Jesus had spent time healing and teaching, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we're in a remote place here." Jesus replied, "Why don't you give them something to eat?" Do you ever feel like that's the way Jesus talks to you? A need comes up and you pray about it and God says, "Well, why don't you do something about it?" You're like, "Me? What can I do? I mean, that's why I'm coming to you. You're the miracle worker." And Jesus is like, "Well, I kind of intend for you to do some of my work." I wonder if that's how the disciples felt. We're not told how they felt, but we know how they responded. They answered, "We only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. Matthew adds it would have cost them 500 denarii to go to town and buy food, and that's if they didn't buy out the complete stock that the places would have. Jesus said to his disciples, "We'll have them sit down in groups of about 50 each." And again in Mark's gospel, he paints a picture with this, and he shows a green field with patches of people, 50 in a group, sort of like a patchwork quilt. The disciples did so, and everybody sat down, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. Now, I know a lot of sermons have been preached on this lesson. It's not the only time that Jesus fed the multitudes. There will be another occasion where there will be about 4,000 men and women and children, so a crowd of maybe as many as 10,000 on this occasion. And there are always baskets full of leftovers. And Jesus on one occasion even said to his disciples, "Collect up what's left over, we don't want to waste anything." I almost have to laugh. We don't want to waste anything, but God gives us twice as much as we need. So the disciples picked up all the empty pieces. They all ate, and they were all satisfied. And I know there are some who don't believe in miracles who explain this lesson by saying that Jesus just taught everybody in the crowd the value of sharing what they had. And when everyone in the crowd took a look at what they had and they all shared with each other what they had, then they had 12 baskets full of food left over. Well, I don't see anywhere in here that the food that fed these people came from the people themselves. Except in one of the gospel lessons that talk about this, one of the disciples, when Jesus said, "Well, what kind of food do you have to give them?" And one of the disciples, I believe it was Andrew, said, "Well, there's a little boy here who has 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, but what is that among so many?" I think God's a little bit perturbed when we take a miracle like that. We try to explain it in terms where God isn't even necessary. All we have to do is share with each other. The whole point of this is that they faced a situation that was impossible for them to deal with, and God ended up providing. Miracles like that happen all around us. I follow, as most of you know, a fellow named Amir Tsarfati, who keeps me updated on events in Israel. He lives in the Galilee region. He has connections, I don't know what kind of connections, but he's posting all kinds of military and weather-related posts. And he's been putting out maybe 50 to 100 posts a day ever since last October 7th. And one post he keeps repeating, he'll put in a short message about something, and he'll end it by saying, "Miracles are happening all around us." I have a feeling there are some people in North Carolina in particular, and also some people in Central Florida, who, in spite of the devastation they might be going through, could also say the same thing. Miracles are happening all around us. Surely God doesn't do everything we wish He would do. But sometimes when we're so overwhelmed we don't even know what to pray, we find that God, in the words of Paul, does so much above and beyond what we could ever hope or think. And so, for that reason, I'm kind of grateful that the work of God in my life isn't limited to answering my prayers. Because when it comes right down to it, as I look back on my life, the prayers that have been answered for me were prayers I didn't even pray. I can only assume that when Jesus says that the Holy Spirit dwells within believers, and that He intercedes on our behalf with God every day, I can only believe that it's the Holy Spirit who's praying for these things I didn't even know I needed. And so I find that the prayers I am most thankful for, on the one hand, are prayers I myself never prayed. And on the other hand, are things I prayed for that God said no to. And all of this to remind me that God is real. He's not a figment of my imagination. When I pray to God, I'm not talking to myself. I'm not seeking inner wisdom that I have. I'm talking to a personal creator, the maker of the universe, and the maker of me in particular. And when I think of that, then I have hope. As I mentioned, today's lesson is actually the last part of an account that began with Jesus giving His authority to the apostles, to the 12, sending them out to heal and to cast out demons. Last week in Sunday school, we talked about whether we have that authority today. And for the most part, I would say, when it comes to healing, I do not have the authority. Some may, but I do not have the authority to visit someone in the hospital, lay my hand on them, or anoint them with oil, and have them rise in front of me and be healed. I know I don't have that authority. What I do have is the presence of God who goes with me. And somehow, in the midst of all my fumbling, is able to convey a sense of peace and comfort so that those who are in the hospital can benefit from the healing that God provides in other means through people educated in the realm of sickness and disease. When it comes to battling spiritual enemies, the answer is a little bit more complex. Jesus did healing today. And of course, Jesus can do that. That's why He came. But I think if we were to look at our lives, if we are sensitive to what God is doing in our lives and what he is trying to do through us in the lives of others, we would see that he has given to us gifts that enable the spiritual healing of ourselves and of others. I have seen too often the power and the harm that come from living the way Satan would have us live, looking only after ourselves, treating others with disrespect, bordering on cruelty. But fortunately, I have also seen the power of a kind word, the power of comfort and reassurance, the power in a simple expression, "I care." This kind of authority I know God has given to us. Well, the disciples experienced more than that when they went on their crusade. They healed, they cast out demons, they preached the kingdom. And last week, we asked ourselves, what is that message of the kingdom? What is that gospel? And we got some answers to that question. This week, it's Jesus who does all the teaching and all the healing. I don't know what the disciples were doing at the time. Attending to people's needs, I suppose. But as evening approaches, it's the disciples who suggest breaking up the crowd. They're recognizing that it's getting late. They're understanding the needs that these people will have. Maybe not spiritual needs, but important needs nonetheless. They say to Jesus, maybe it's time we finish up this meeting and let the people go home. But Jesus isn't ready to break up the meeting. He's got a few more hymns he wants them to sing, I guess. So he says, well, if you think they're hungry, go ahead and feed. And they did have food to give, but not nearly enough. I wonder if Jesus was a little frustrated with them. I mean, after all, they had just spent some weeks doing miracles, healing, casting out demons, preaching the kingdom. Remember, Jesus told them to go without an extra tunic, without a staff, without a bag of food, without a pouch of money, depending on God for every step of the way, and they depended on him, and they got results. And now, for some reason, when they faced a need, they didn't think the same God was operating. But Jesus was confident that if they were doing God's work, God would provide for what they need. And that really is what today's story is all about. Whatever work God has called us to do, whether that work is religious, like mine tends to be, or whether that work is secular, like yours tends to be, whatever work we have been called by God to do, he equips us to do it. And part of that equipping is times of rest and solitude. And so if I were to summarize this morning's lesson, I would summarize it under three captions. The first caption is rest, because that's where we began. It's time to take a rest. We've fought a spiritual battle. We've won some spiritual victories. Now it's time to rest and refresh ourselves. The words of the 23rd Psalm. It's time for our souls to be restored. The second label that I would put on today's lesson is trust. Because as we saw, there time of resting didn't last as long as they thought it would. Suddenly they were confronted with more needs, needs that were quite beyond their ability. And I'm quite captivated by that moment when Jesus says to the disciples, "Well, why don't you feed them?" And the disciples say, "Well, all we have is 5 loaves and 2 fish. And Jesus said, "Well, get the crowds ready. Set them in groups of 50. And then come back." So they did that. And when they came back, Jesus took what little they had. And we are told specifically that he offered thanks. And here I learn that Jesus is very different from me. Because if it were me, and I were holding in my hands the little that I had to offer, and looking out at the immensity of the need, I would be more inclined to complain or to weep than to give thanks. And I'm sure there were many who responded to the hurricanes of the past couple weeks, hearing the news accounts, feeling maybe a little bit like I did, that the need is so great and I have so little. What good can I do? And Jesus tells us, just be thankful for what you have. Be willing to put what you have in the hands of God. And then you know you've done everything you can. And then you may be surprised at what God can do with the little that you offer. Provided we learn the third lesson from today, and that word is thanksgiving. When we combine a regular time of rest with an attitude of trust that God is working through us and what he calls us to do, he will empower us to do. And then are thankful even when we see no results, even when we're forced to recognize how little we have, and we still give thanks to God for that, that's when miracles begin to happen. God opens our eyes to the way he works in the hearts of people. We begin to see him working in our own lives, and we're amazed. And we tell ourselves, "I never would have thought that I could have made that much of a difference." I see a lot of signs around today. I see a lot of signs around. Most of them I try not to pay attention to. But there's one sign that when I see it, I tell myself, "Yes, I'll do that." The simple sign, it's only 2 words, be kind. I have a feeling that every miracle that God accomplishes through his people begins with a willingness to show kindness to others. Maybe when we think we're too busy to take time, but we do anyway. Maybe when we think we have nothing to offer, but what little we have, we offer anyway. Maybe when our heart is just broken for the pain that we see in the face of another, and we decide to take a moment and simply ask God, "How can I show kindness to this person in need?" I'd like to close this morning by saying thank you to you for the kindness that you have shown to me. We've been in this church, next April will be 30 years. I look back on that and sometimes I can't believe it's been that long. And over that 30 years, I've considered it a privilege to serve you. But more than that, I've been humbled by the love and kindness that you have shown to me and my family. And I want you to know that through every prayer you've offered, through every word of kindness and support, God Himself has touched me. And I'm very, very grateful. And I see you showing that love to each other. And I show you reaching out in the community and showing that love as well. And I say to the Lord, thank you for calling me to serve in this congregation, because over the years they have taught me so much. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the love that we have found in your Son, Jesus Christ, who left behind the glories of heaven and took upon himself the frailty of human flesh, who had times of tiredness, times of hunger, times of weakness. He had to, in order to understand the struggles that we face. But it wasn't enough for him simply to share our need. He suffered the disgrace of rejection and the pain of crucifixion and even the sense of loss and abandonment when you turned your back on him. And he did all of this for us. And he has called us to be willing to do the same for each other. I thank you for a congregation that every day shows me how to do that. And pray that somehow through my ministry, they are as blessed as I have been by them. Through Christ we pray. Amen.